You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's South Park After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's South Park After Show.
Yeah. Play that funky bass.
Friendly faces everywhere. Humble folks left.
Well done. Well done.
Thank you. I try.
Hey, guys. Bing is for doing. We're here doing the South Park podcast. I'm John. With
Hi.
Me as always.
I'm Kira.
It's Kira. Guys, Kira's here. How awesome is that?
Thank you.
All
can
right.
Can I get a clap?
Can you, listeners? Thank you, listeners. So tonight, we are revisiting classic episodes of South Park. And we come back to season 1, episode 9, entitled Mr. Hanky the Christmas
yes.
Pooh. It's great. Lots of firsts. First Christmas episode. First appearance of frequently recurring character Mr. Hanky.
Mm-hmm.
Most importantly for our purposes, first musical episode of South Park.
Yes.
Now, there are, I think every song on here in this episode is a classic. Like, it's a classic of the South Park oeuvre, or whatever you call it.
Yeah.
Obviously, I think my favorite, though, isn't quite as classic, and that's Chef's Christmas song.
Oh!
Where he tells his woman that he can't wait to jingle her bells and fa-la-la her la.
And they were allowed to say that on TV back then.
They,
I guess so.
Yeah.
Wait, your favorite wasn't the Kyle's Mom?
No, Kyle's Mom is a Bitch is my favorite song
okay,
in the history
just making
of music,
sure. Because they made like a little CD, like a Mr. Hanky Christmas CD.
Yeah. I'm
sure you still play
I it. Have Kyle's Mom is a Bitch on all of my hard drives.
That's great.
It's the best song.
You knew it by heart when you were watching
it. Oh, my God. I know every word of that song. I mean, it has to be, you know, I can't do it without being prompted. But once prompted, I can sing basically the whole song. But then we've also got a frequently recurring song, Mr. Hanky the Christmas Pooh, mm-hmm. his theme song. Which, for some reason, I always had in my head, I thought it was, So I Guess in a Way, He Loves You Too. But no, it's Therefore Vicariously, He Loves You Too, because they love words in Christmas songs.
Of course.
And then we've got famous but less recurring Lonely Jew on Christmas.
That's actually my favorite, and yeah. I don't know why. I'm not a Jew, but I think it is funny.
I mean, it's executed very well because
yes.
it's very funny, but it's a very somber song. You know, because it's like kind of about a sad thing.
I feel like bad. Mm-hmm. I really do feel bad for him because you know the inspiration for this and why they incorporated the whole like Jew thing is because when they used to grow up in Colorado, mm-hmm. Totally different schools, they always saw Jewish people getting bullied, even to the point where they got beaten up. During
wow.
Christmas. I'm not kidding. And that's wow. why it stemmed to, like, sing that, I'm just a Jew, a lonely Jew on Christmas.
Wow.
Yeah. And then...
the more you know, folks.
Yeah, and then they did a Christmas pageant. they did a Christmas pageant, and one of the kids was Jewish, and so everyone together would sing all the Christmas songs and isolated that one Jewish boy and made him sing a Jewish song. And they said instead of making the Jewish boy feel better, he just felt more isolated. So that was really the inspiration.
Oh my goodness.
So I don't know who that sad Jewish boy is, but that that is what
whoever
inspired
you are,
that song.
Sad Jewish boy singing presumably the dreidel song. Sorry. Wow. On behalf of Gentiles everywhere. Whoops.
That's sad.
But also there's like, it's just such a great moment because South Park, the Matt and Trey, pretty good with pretty good songsmiths, I would say.
Oh my
overall.
God, absolutely.
And this first taste is really telling, you know? I mean, there's the whole story of when they came out with the movie, you know, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut, that Stephen Sondheim called it his favorite musical of, like, the past 10 years or something when it came out. And I think that's, like, a legitimate thing. I think they're legitimately great, talented, funny songwriters, and they just happen to be really gross things about Christmas poops and Kyle's mom being a bitch.
Yes.
Which she kind of is in this.
She is. She always is, though.
Yeah, she is. Really, really bad. Mm-hmm. But like the jokes all hit in the songs. The lyrics all work. Like it never, other than the therefore vicariously he loves you too, which is a joke about that. They're very well crafted funny songs, which is a rarity.
Yes.
You know, the only people who I think ever come close are the few Simpsons moments where they have songs. But they don't ever do, like, full-on musical episodes.
Yeah, they never
have. They just have that great Maison Derrière song, which is among my favorite things ever. And then there is an album, but I forget what that's about.
That's okay.
Or what's on it. But anyway, it hints at the musical genius that is to come, including What Would Brian Boitano Do? And the Ladder to Heaven from the 9/11, the Ladder to Heaven song. What other great songs have they done on this show?
Okay, I like ones that are less conventional. I just remember there was this, like, one song that, like, Cartman was, like, it was, like, some sad, like, in the ghetto, in the ghetto.
Oh, yeah, he sings
in the ghetto.
It was,
like, Cartman going to, like, Kenny's house. It wasn't a musical, but that's, like, one of my most memorable songs. And after I saw that episode, I think I sang it for about a month.
Yeah, well, that's a...
The world is a vampire.
Is this it? I don't know.
No,
I don't know the real song.
This is
badass.
Oh. I mean, that was Bullet with Butterfly Wings by Smashing Pumpkins.
Okay, thank you.
South Park did a version of that, didn't they?
Maybe. Well, now I need
now
to do
need
some
to
internet.
Check it out.
But while I'm on the internet checking things out, folks.
Yes, thank you.
Did you know that you can check things out on the internet, including our podcast? And if you're checking our podcast out on the internet, I'm willing to bet that maybe you're, like, interested in buying DVDs of South Park or other things that you want or need or desire, or, like, you need to get a gift for someone. You know what's a good place to do that crap?
Where?
almost said AfterBuzz. Amazon.com. And you know what? But the one thing that I would always argue against about Amazon.com is typing, because you have to type stuff. Why type when you can click on a banner ad on AfterBuzzTV.com and get right to Amazon, buy all the crap you need? Doesn't do any. It makes your life easier, guys. Easier. Your life's going to be easier. And here's what happens: you buy your stuff, nothing changes, same price. We get a kickback. Keep the lights on here at AfterBuzz, because God knows what will happen when the darkness falls. All right. So this episode of South Park, I feel like it sort of predicts the war on Christmas that's happening these days.
Oh my God! Yeah.
The offense people. I mean, right off the bat, I was like, oh, there are going to be people offended by this, like, this routine that the kids are doing. Because it opens with a very, very specific Charlie Brown parody. Because I don't know if you're not familiar with the Charlie Brown Christmas special. Linus is on stage. He asks for lights, please. A spotlight shines down on him. And he just, in that spotlight, tells the entire story of the birth of Jesus Christ. which is apparently what they're doing at South Park Elementary School.
Yes.
Excuse me. For the Christmas pageant. Now, some people might take offense to the religious overtones in a public school. Probably because it's it's in a constitution, at best, in a constitutional gray area.
Mm-hmm. Because it's public. We all pay taxes.
Yeah. I paid my taxes.
Me too.
Mitt Romney, on the other hand. but anyway, it obviously, as it would in real life, triggers a massive shitstorm of people complaining about their religion being represented or not represented. And so thus begins the town of South Park's fight to strip all offensiveness from Christmas, meaning that they can't have any songs about any Christmas songs that aren't about Jesus or Santa Claus, which really, I defy you. Like, you'll maybe name four and then the rest are done.
Yeah, and how boring was that play that they did with the little pajama suit type thingies?
And it was, no, that's not even the best part. The best part is that the music was put together by Philip Glass, which is such a like an out of left field
reference.
Philip
Glass?
A minimalist composer from New York.
Really? Yeah. Okay.
He's a real guy. That guy who's playing the keyboards is a real guy. And such a bizarre, obscure reference, but great. Great moment. So funny. So funny that they are fighting to the death, basically. It's sort of implied that people are going to perish by each other's hands in South Park if nothing is done.
I love how there's, like, one Jewish family, though.
Yeah, there's only one Jewish family, but that everyone is offended by everything else. The people who don't want to cut down Christmas trees.
Of course not.
What were the other groups? Were there any other groups?
Yeah, I remember that there was a group. This is back then, too, and also still holds recently, is they don't want Christmas lights on any kind of government building.
Right.
So, you know, the schools, the post office, libraries, things like that.
Okay.
And I think that that's what they got inspired by, because I know that Mr. Hankey, the reason why they have him, is to show that Christmas isn't about religion, but it's about good and presents.
Right.
Presents.
Right. Thank you. Thank you, South Park, for making it that clear. now, that the town basically agrees to have a singing turd as their symbol of Christmas. Probably the funniest thing ever. Because I would defy you to think of a less Christmassy thing without being, like, blasphemous. Like,
true.
Actually blasphemous. Like, Satan or Satan, I guess.
Yeah.
Which also, for folks trying to make a blasphemous Christmas thing, Satan and Santa have the same letters. So, use that the next time you're, you know, painting blood pentagrams on people's houses or whatever it is you
do.
I don't know. The idea that everyone is so vehemently opposed to the existence of Mr. Hankey when we live in this town where Jesus is alive and a real person and Santa makes appearances in South Park. So the singing turd, little too bizarre. Turns out it's real.
Yeah.
Turns out it's real, and getting poor Kyle sent to the sanitarium. Which
I just loved how it hit Cartman's face.
Yeah.
Wasn't that the best?
Oh my god!
I was like, "Ew, you're sick, dude." And then when it was floating in its cup, you just imagine a little cup, a little Mr. Hankey floating right on our cups right now. That'd be terrible.
Now I'm not going to be able to drink it. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Now I'm picturing that there was a turd in there. That's what just happened to my head.
Is he one of your favorite characters, though?
Yes. And I love that what he... Because instead of, like, Santa Claus, who comes to your house and gives you presents if you've been a good boy or girl all year, Mr. Hanky comes to your house and gives you presents if you have fiber in your diet.
That was the best part.
Yeah.
Well, because you know that one of their dads, when they were getting potty trained, they said that they would call the poo Mr. Hanky. And they said that if you don't flush the toilet, that he was going to come out and kill you. And that was the inspiration. That was the inspiration for Mr. Hanky. But isn't that great how they made him good instead of like this horrible like poo
monster
or that like would kill people you? Killing poo person?
I mean, debatable. A people killing poo person would be pretty cool.
That'd be interesting.
You know?
Maybe they'll have it in their later episodes.
Let's
hope
so.
What a mean dad. Who would say that to your kid? I'd be so scared. And who would believe that? Well, I guess he was probably like 2 when he got potty trained.
Yeah.
Poo would come up and kill you, and he was so scared that he had to flush the toilet. Which that really reminds me of like Clive and like him not flushing the toilet for his mom, and then she died. Which that obviously would never happen in real life.
No.
Thank you.
No, it wouldn't. On that sad note, folks, you listen to us a lot. We do a lot for you. We don't ask that much for you from you.
Mm-mm.
Because we work hard and you guys are ungrateful. But we put these up in the iTunes store. You can download them in the podcast. You can get a podcast app from the iTunes store. Just really listen to the hell out of the things we say. So all we ask in return from you for making it so easy to hear the wonderful things we have to say is that you go on iTunes and you rate and you comment on our little show here. I'd like it if you said nice things, but if you have mean things to say, that's fine.
We can
I got a thick skin. I can handle it. I don't know what mean thing you'd have to say about me because I'm awesome.
Yes, you are.
As likewise is my co-host.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But rate, comment, listen, love, tell a friend. Thanks.
Or two.
Tell, why not? Tell 8 friends. Why as many friends as you have.
So on Facebook, that has to be like, what, like 1,000 people?
5 billion?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Anyway.
Okay.
Here's an interesting episode of South Park for many of the reasons we've discussed already. But I think one of the most interesting things is that Kenny lives. Kenny survives this episode. I don't know if it's the first episode he survives.
It
I think it is.
It is indeed.
Okay. It's great because they set up him up to die so many times.
Yeah, that's what I loved about it. Yeah. There were so many times he was set up and you're like, when is he going to die? When is he going to die?
Oh, God. Oh, God. Why is there a shark in the school's like Christmas play? Who needs a shark?
That's right.
But there's a shark, and there's little Kenny just climbing up a ladder to get rid of a star, because stars are offensive, people. Don't forget that. Don't ever forget that stars are offensive. NASA? What's with the stars? Kenny goes up to get that star from the ladder and is dangling precariously over the shark. He pulls out some stuff from the stuff. You know, stuff.
Yeah, stuff from the stuff.
Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah. Electric. He pulls out the electric from the electric box, which is right by a puddle of water. And he doesn't die. And then at the end, and I felt it too.
What?
When they're standing there in the crowd and it's like, man, something feels unfinished.
Yeah.
And then they cut to a shot of Kenny and like he's just very nervous, and then the end falls down and he cheers. Woohoo! He cheers this little Kenny cheer. And you're like, "Yeah,
you
made it."
Did you think something was going to happen like right there when he went woohoo? But I mean, obviously we know the answer, but before.
Yeah.
And then it just cuts to Jesus.
I also thought when they started running the credits and then it went to something else, I was like, "Oh shoot, they're going to kill Kenny for real this time." But they didn't. Kenny lives. He lives to fight and die another day. So God bless you, Kenny, and God bless South Park for doing this crazy, crazy Christmas episode. Yeah.
Just for the holidays. They let Kenny live.
Just for the holidays.
Holiday decency.
I have a few lines that I thought were really, really great.
Oh, yeah, let's go for them.
But I think the biggest one was, can't wait to jingle your bells and fa-la-la your la.
Use your imagination to fill those in.
Talking poo is where I draw the line. Cartman leaves because talking poo is where he draws the line.
I love how he asked if dried up pieces of poo were in the Jew tradition.
He did. He did ask if they were a Jewish tradition. Turns out, no. So, yeah. Did my research. Mm-hmm. I read the Torah. And the only thing I took from it is what? That poop is not part of the Jewish tradition.
Okay, good.
That's it, though. Oh. Jewish people can't eat Christmas snow. That's funny. And we all know they
can't. Yeah, it was confirmed it was illegal.
The police officer said they don't know. It's illegal.
Well, back in South Park in 1997.
It's probably still on the books. listeners out there, if you know anything about the law, let us know. Is it legal for Jews to eat Christmas snow?
I think it is.
We're counting on you.
Yeah.
We're counting on you. God, I just love Kyle's mom is a bitch so much. Have you ever met my friend Kyle's mom? She's the biggest bitch in the whole wide world. She's a big old bitch. She's a stupid bitch. She's a bitch. You all the boys and girls. I love the version of it. Thank you. I love the. I think there's a version of it in the movie where it's like a whole chorus of children join him, and it's brilliant.
You could have been one of those people.
I wish. Well, no, because I didn't memorize it until the movie. It's because of the movie that I haven't memorized. I love that they have the most non-offensive Christmas ever. I love that they're wearing leotards in the Christmas play because they can't wear anything else because everything else is offensive. I wrote down in big letters, poor Jews at one point. Not sure what that one's in what specific atrocity committed against the Jews that was written in reference to, but probably how mean people were being to Kyle.
Yes.
Because I don't think this episode referenced the State of Israel or, the 40 years in the desert or any other of the many, many, many things that have gone wrong.
They actually did not.
No.
And I'm glad you could enlighten me because I did not know any of that.
Yeah. Yeah. They've gotten the, for being God's chosen people, they've gotten the short end of the stick a lot of the time. Ike's on fire. One of my favorite lines. Because Ike was on fire.
I know. They're more concerned about other things than the poor baby.
I love how negligent of parents the Ruflovskis can be sometimes. And with that, I think it's time to hear from our old friend, Wooly Bear.
Hey there, good buddies. My handle's Wooly Bear. I'm a truck driving man, but I'm not that old school kind of truck driving man. No, I like to listen to podcasts while I'm driving through these great United States of ours. And my favorite podcasts in the world are from AfterBuzz TV. And why? Because AfterBuzz TV is like a post-game wrap-up show for all your favorite TV shows, like Jersey Shore, Dancing with the Stars, Mad Men, and a whole truckload more. I like listening to my Gossip Girl podcast, catching up with all my fellow fans and getting all the latest news and gossip. You know, I got some strong opinions. And AfterBuzz TV lets me share those opinions with thousands of other listeners. Woo-wee! What a feeling! I used to doze off on those lonely stretches of road. And don't worry, I got the cruise control. But now I'm wide awake and listening to all the AfterBuzz TV goodness. Check them out. Give them a holler. And tell them the old Wooly Bear sent you.
XOXO Wooly Bear. All right, guys. It's time for predict. We don't really have any. I just wanted to confirm, Marissa, that yes, Bullet with Butterfly Wings is in the episode of South Park titled Whale Whores.
Yes.
Because it is, I think it's the theme song to Whale Wars.
It is.
Yeah, so that's what's up. Cool.
So that makes sense. And then, last but not least, I don't know if you remember, but for the creator of Ren and Stimpy, do you even know that cartoon? I'm not really familiar.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you are.
He was
saying that they took his idea. That South Park stole his idea. Like, that Mr. Hankey was, like, his idea.
Really?
Or that they, like, copied him and that, like, other people confirmed that they stole his story.
Interesting.
Now, you know...
Billy West isn't the guy. Billy West is a voice actor.
I don't know who it is. It's, like, a really, like, difficult name that I can't pronounce. Right. I would rather not embarrass myself. But since you are familiar with that show, do you think that that's true?
I will always side with South Park. I don't know. It's not, like... It's not... There's really, really gross stuff in Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah.
I think there's an episode... Where Ren or Stimpy, I think Stimpy has a an anthropomorphized booger that he like that follows him around sometimes.
Booger, totally different from poo.
Totally different from poo. A little less gross, but the thing is, like, Ren and Stimpy was always a gross out show. It was always the grossest thing you can imagine. So. I'm sure somewhere along the line that guy had the idea of a talking turd.
Oh, really? But to clarify, they never stole his idea.
I don't know. He might have had that idea and written it down and put it somewhere, and then they stole it. I don't know.
Because I heard that it was...
It would have been if... Or what had you heard?
Well, that it was based under the... what's that Disney character? Like Steamboat Willie? Like a Mickey Mouse character. Right. That's what I heard. Like, it was based from a Mickey Mouse character back in like in the 1920s or something. Not Ren and Stimpy. Yeah. Which, when did that come out?
Well, Ren and Stimpy was the early 90s. So like 1993. Oh, okay.
Well, definitely not 1928 or what have you. So.
I mean, Mr. Hankey takes on elements of Mickey Mouse. Like, there's one time.
Howdy-ho. Yeah.
Well, there's also the time where he is dressed as the Sorcerer's Apprentice. From Fantasia, and creates a giant army of probably poop. I forget.
God, I forgot about Fantasia. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. So that's a thing that happened. Here's the other thing: is that the way South Park executed having a talking piece of poo is, and this is a weird way to put it, way more palatable than any talking poo idea the Ren and Stimpy guy would have had, for better or for worse. Right. The Ren and Stimpy guy would have made it really, really disgusting.
Okay, and this was a kind Christmas poo.
Yeah, this was a nice Christmas poo, and there were stains everywhere, which was gross. But
yeah, that was pretty gross.
But we would have, like, it based on how Ren and Stimpy went, there would have been a very detailed close-up of a poo, and it would have been really disturbing.
Okay, so totally different, just to clear up the air, controversy over.
I mean, I'm
here at After Buzz.
Sure, yes.
Thank you.
We solved it. All right, guys. That's about all we got, because we can't do prediction on the show. So tell them where to find you.
Kira Batte on Twitter.
Find me at J. Dugan Barrett. You can also check out my Wilfred podcast tomorrow with the lovely Greg Goodness and Siobhan Hughes and the significantly less lovely Jack Walls. check us next week. Same bat time. Same bat channel.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals. AfterBuzz TV.